Good morning. This fall, we have been talking about the steadfast love of God, reflecting on the Hebrew word hesed, which is normally translated steadfast love, but it carries with it this kind of large cluster of ideas of kindness, of faithfulness, of making a promise, but then following through with actions of loyalty upon your promise. And the scriptures tell us that that type of love, that faithfulness, is at the heart of our God, the center of his character. And we know that in the scriptures they tell us that we see that most clearly, that steadfast, faithful love of God in Jesus. When God took on flesh and came to us, but not only in his incarnation, but in his death on the cross, that he was loyal to suffer for us. And so we have been reflecting on this steadfast love of God by looking at the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. And last couple weeks we looked at chapter 1. And just to kind of update you, in case you're not familiar with the story of Ruth, is that in chapter 1, we met two widows, Ruth and Naomi. They lost everything but each other. And they returned from Moab, a foreign land, to Bethlehem in Israel at the start of the barley harvest. And they've made this long journey, but the question is, now what? By Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, she describes her experience that she was once pleasant, but has become bitter. She was once full, but her life is now empty because of the losses that they have experienced. Well, as part of this next part in the story in chapter 2, we will see three scenes develop as the story moves along. We'll see Naomi and Ruth in their home talking about their need. Then Ruth, the daughter-in-law, going out into the fields to work, and then her coming home again to Naomi. The two outside chapters, her talking to Naomi, the beginning and end, we'll talk about briefly, but we'll look mostly at her time in the field when she meets a man named Boaz. And our passage this morning begins, before we go into the story, it gives us a hint that there is a person named Boaz that will show up. And that little hint, that reminder that there's someone else in the story tells us that there's more going on than Naomi's loss or Ruth's loss. There's more going on in the story. A larger tapestry is being created. A larger story will be told. So let's look at chapter 2. You might look at this and think, wow, the whole Bible is printed in my order of worship, but I wanted to give you the whole context of the story, and so bear with me, and you can follow in your Bible or just listen as I read to you from Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, Listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoke kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her the food that she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you found work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you have gathered us here, and we thank you for your word of truth. And we pray, Lord, that we would see its beauty, that we would be moved by the wonder of your grace and your faithfulness, that not only would we know it, but that we'd be drawn to trust you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, our passage has three scenes. The first one is that Naomi and Ruth are talking at home, and they have returned from the foreign land of Moab to come to Bethlehem, but despite this change of address, their circumstances, their uncertainties, their problems remain. In addition to loneliness and to emptiness and the loss of those that they love, they are hungry. And dawn breaks, and Ruth feels this need, that food is at the top of their list. But not only are we to see that there is hunger and poverty and loss, but the narrator wants us to see something else by reminding us, again, that Ruth is from Moab. She's a Moabite. She's not from around this part of Israel, that she's a foreigner and an outsider. That we are to be reminded of her experience, that she has been uprooted, and that she is vulnerable, likely to be excluded, marginalized. She's not from around here. She's not like us. She's from a place that we don't even like. But yet, even in this vulnerability and in this likely exclusion, Ruth tells Naomi of her plan to go and to seek someone's favor. Let me seek favor and let me seek food. Naomi, who earlier has spoken only of bitterness and of emptiness, and even earlier had told Ruth to go home, to leave her alone and go back to Moab, now says, "Go, my daughter." And so Ruth sets out, and we leave the first scene to come to the second one, where Ruth goes into the fields to glean. And you might be able to picture in your mind in the fields of this harvest that there are the strong-armed workers who are cutting the standing grain. And behind them, there's other laborers, men and women, who follow to gather, to bind the grain into sheaves. And it's only after all of these laborers, all of these workers have moved forward that there can be gleaners, the group of widows, or the poor, or the foreigners, that they can come and glean, meaning they can come and pick over what has been left behind. They can gather for themselves. And so Ruth takes her place among the gleaners, and she works. And we might think in this moment of a passage from the scripture that says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You see, remember, Ruth in our first chapter had told Naomi, even though Naomi had told her to go home, to leave her, Ruth has said, "I will not leave you." Reflecting the love of God, she committed a steadfast faithfulness, a loyalty to her mother-in-law, saying that she would stay by her. And then this promise is now expressed by Ruth leaving the house and going into the field to do the hard work of gleaning, of seeing what she can find for them to eat. We're reminded that this book of Ruth, we see that faithfulness, that courage, that things like righteousness and goodness, they are not some kind of miraculous act where the heavens part. They're not some kind of public act in the royal court or in some kind of legendary battlefield. Rather, the work of courage and of faithfulness is in the mundane, the seemingly quiet, mundane things of going to a field to see what food could be found. Ruth is profound in her courage. Yet even in her courage, we are to see from our passage that she is vulnerable. This was hinted at in the first scene that she was a foreigner, but her vulnerability is developed further in this second scene, for when Boaz arrives in his fields, the landowner Boaz, he comes, he looks and greets the manager, but then seeing Ruth, he asks the question, whose young woman is this? Whose young woman is this? Now that might sound odd to our ears, but what he is asking is, to what family, to what clan is she a part of? But we know that she is a widow, a refugee, one from an enemy land, that she's not attached, and that Ruth is alone. As a result, in this scene, that she faces not only poverty and hunger, but the reality of being marginalized and the very real possibility of violence. In a land where there was a recent famine, we can imagine that especially the weak and the poor were especially exposed. And it's in that setting where there doesn't seem to be enough, or there's fears about whether there'll be enough, that exclusion or marginalizing others is especially present, right? To exclude outsiders because they're a threat. They might not be welcome because we might not have enough for everybody who has need. Maybe we can pause for a moment to think of times that we might have felt excluded, an outsider, or maybe pinges of guilt or shame at times that looking back that we have acted to leave others apart, to not let them have the things that we want to have. Well, it's not just exclusion that Ruth faces, but as the story goes on, we hear multiple times of the danger of violence against her. A woman alone working in the fields, there is the very real reality of sexual assault, of her being mistreated, of violence against her. And I mention these things because the story, God's word wants us to grasp not just Ruth's courage and loyalty, but the vulnerability that she experiences, the harm and trouble that she faces. In the presence of harm, our passage though also reminds us of the presence of God. This chapter invites us to see and affirm that God is one who is active, even at times hidden, one who is active to bring about good things and to restore things that are broken. First, we see that in the fact that the harvest is real. In a place that was filled with famine, a place that was empty, has now been filled with food. But also, as Ruth goes to glean, we remember that hesed, a steadfast kindness, begins with the heart of God. For God, by his word, has called forth a people, and he's given his people a mission, a vocation. In his word, he tells them to practice sheltering kindness, especially for the poor, especially for those who are vulnerable, exposed to harm and to trouble. In God's word, we hear these words, "Do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Rather, leave the corners, leave the gleanings for the poor and for the foreigner." Think about that for a moment. God's word, he tells landowners, he tells those who have resources not to take everything for themselves. Don't take everything, don't take every penny, but leave the corners, leave some of the things intentionally for those who lack. God's law gives a legal right in that setting to the poor and to the widow and to the foreigner to seek the food of the land. But we know that not all such laws were followed, and we know that outsiders or the poor were often unwelcome or forgotten. And so Ruth hopes to find kindness in the fields. She hopes to find a godly landowner with mercy in his eyes. She hopes to find someone who is practicing the chesed that God has established. And what does our story tell us? She happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened. It turned out, by chance, she happened to stumble upon the field that belonged to Boaz. This is a hint, it's a clue, it's an indirect pointer to say that why there was no human intention present here, why for Ruth and Boaz this was an accidental meeting, that God, that someone was behind the scenes bringing this story about. Again, that there was more at work than Naomi, more at work than Ruth, or their loss, or their resources, but that God himself was creating a story, working behind the scenes in his providential care, showing care for his people. And again, we remember that this type of care is, the book of Ruth, is not of the spectacular type of the seas parting or the mountains moving. Rather, God's activity in the shadows is performed by his Spirit through his people. When his people in their everyday lives choose to practice kindness and generosity, wouldn't you know it, but Boaz, an honorable man, a relative of Naomi's dead husband, he shows up and he asks about Ruth. Hearing about who she is, how will Boaz respond? No one would have blinked an eye if he had turned away and never spoken of Ruth again. How will he respond? Well, after hearing about Ruth and who she is, Boaz speaks directly to her, and in a series of directives, Boaz grants this woman, this foreigner, this widow, an exceptional right to be in his fields, an exceptional amount of generosity, saying, "Do not go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my female workers. Watch the field where they work and follow along with the other women. I have ordered my men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, don't go to the well yourself, but drink what my men have brought and provided." In the danger and uncertainty that was part of Naomi's life and Ruth's life, Boaz intervenes and he promises that he will not treat Ruth as an outsider, but that he will bring her in and shelter her. In Ruth, in this story that has unfolded the last few weeks, we have seen what love, the love of God, looks like. For you and I to think about what it looks like for us to love one another or love our neighbors, we have seen that love includes seeing the sorrows of another. That love also includes seeking the good of somebody else or even receiving good from them, the good that they have to offer. And now we see that love, the steadfast love of God, includes the sheltering kindness of preventing harm towards another person. To prevent harm, especially those who are in trouble. For Boaz uses his strength, he uses his position, he uses his resources to prevent Ruth from the harm, from the vulnerability that she was exposed to. And in doing so, he reflects the Lord God, the Lord who created a people and gave them the job of bringing forth his kingdom through practicing sheltering kindness and a steadfast love. It's a chance for you and I to think about such love, the preventing of harm, the sheltering. For you and I to think about the difficulties or the troubles that we have experienced or the ones we are experiencing and to ask, have we experienced a shelter? Have we experienced God's presence working through people in our life who offer us generosity and kindness? I moved from Pennsylvania to Ohio in the third grade, and I remember that early in my time in Ohio, I was riding the school bus. And there was a boy who sat in the seat in front of me, and he wasn't very nice to me. Don't worry, I've handled it now. But there was one day that he was especially unkind, speaking to me and how he treated me. And I went home, and I mentioned something to my mom about what had happened on the bus. And somewhat to my horror and to my shock the next day that she walked with me to the bus stop and got on the bus with me. And she said some things to the bus driver, and she said some things to the boy that was sitting in the seat next to me, and that boy never spoke to me again. Now, I have to say that part of me was deeply embarrassed by this, but also that really deep inside, I was so pleased, and I felt so happy that someone had told this person to stop talking to me like that. That's a silly story in many ways to look back, a story from long ago, but it's one that came to my mind when I thought of someone who would act to shelter. It's a chance for us to think about the care that we need, but also the chance that you and I have to shelter somebody else. How might you and I include, invite in, welcome those who are excluded? How might you and I welcome or seek the good or recognize the trouble facing our neighbor, a friend, or even a family member? How might we, knowing that no one would probably blink an eye, but how might we see our resources as a means to prevent the harm of another person? You see, Boaz offers Ruth kindness of welcoming her in. Boaz offers Ruth kindness of establishing protection. My men will not touch you. Boaz offers Ruth kindness through generosity, even welcoming her to his table. Come and eat with my family. And Ruth is overwhelmed by Boaz's unexpected generosity, and she bows to express thank you and asks why. Why are you doing this? Which leads to this climax of their discussion where Boaz says, all that you have done for Naomi, the chesed that you have shown to your mother-in-law, I've heard about that. That you left your life in Moab, you left your future that might have been there to come and to care for this woman. He asks for blessings upon her, but also he says that the one, when she has come, the refuge that she has sought is under the wings, the mighty wings of Almighty God. You see what Boaz is doing in this moment? He's saying to her, he's directing Ruth to see that this shelter that you've experienced, this surprising generosity, this surprising protection, it is actually the sheltering wings of our God. It is the mighty garment, the robe of our God that has covered you and brought you to himself. Ruth, you've been walking in death, the death of your husband, the death of your life in Moab, the death of your future as you commit yourself to Naomi, but you have a place under the sheltering wings of our God. The kindness that you've experienced, see it as the sheltering love of a God who says to you, come and find rest with me. Well, Boaz goes on to give Ruth a meal, and more than a meal, sends her home with a load and load of food, probably about 30 pounds of food to take home with her for her and Naomi. And that brings us to the final scene where Ruth returns. And Naomi sees all that's there. She sees the food that's been brought back, and she asks, where did you go today? Who did you work with? And Ruth says, I worked with Boaz. And Naomi says, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. I want to highlight here that Naomi, there is an intentional ambiguity in our passage. For is she giving thanks for Boaz, who has remembered the living and the dead, or is she giving thanks to God, Yahweh, who remembers the living and the dead? I suggest that it's intentionally ambiguous because the answer is yes. God, in his graciousness through Boaz and Boaz's faithfulness, has cared for Naomi. And here in this moment, this woman who has known pain, the loss of a husband, the loss of two sons, the woman has spoken of bitterness and of emptiness. Here is a moment where she sees for maybe the first time in a long time that God not only is sovereign, but that God might remember her. That God not only is powerful, but that God is kind. Seeing the need and trouble and offering a sheltering kindness through Boaz to her and to Ruth. She sees that God has been kind and has protected them in their vulnerability. And it's a chance for them again to think about their story. It's not a story simply of their loss or their limited resources. Is at work. God is at work in their life. C.S. Lewis, when thinking about God's providence and how events unfold in our life, said that it's like we ride with our backs to the engine. We have no notion what stage in the journey we have reached. A story is precisely the sort that can only be understood when we've heard the whole thing. And a writer named Soren Kierkegaard said that life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. And in this moment, when Naomi sees that God is active in her life and sees that Boaz, reflecting God, has been kind, she invites us with her to dare and proclaim the divine providence of our God. Is it true that the Creator of all things knows and sees you? The Creator of all things knows when a sparrow falls or knows the number of hairs on your head. Do we dare to believe that? Do we dare to hold on to such goodness of God that even when it's hidden, that He works for the good of His children? Or our passage will eventually talk about a redeemer. Next week we'll see that Boaz is a redeemer who can act in a formal way to help them. But the kindness of God ultimately comes in our true Redeemer, Jesus. For who is our God? Not just someone with power, but someone who is kind. For Jesus Himself sees our emptiness, and He was emptied to come into our harm. And Jesus willingly enters into our harm and our vulnerability to take hold of you and me. To say that our life is not just the sum of our resources, but it belongs to God Himself. I pray that we may know that love of God, that faithful kindness of God, that we may find rest in His care, but that we also may offer it in shelter and kindness to our neighbors. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for who You are, and we thank You, Lord, that You are good and that You are present. Lord, give us eyes to see Your work in our life, even when it seems hidden or uncertain. Lord, I pray that you give us those eyes to see Your faithfulness and Your kindness, but also give us eyes to see our neighbors that we may extend such faithfulness to them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.